Blog Talk Radio.
I always had self-esteem issues. From
call me a coward, say that I'm not strong because I'm not like you. Go ahead and call me crazy because I live in a maze. Tell me, how about you? I think I live in my head. Sometimes I think that I'm dead. I hide behind my youth. No, I've been losing my mind and I'm a little behind. Step aside my shoes because I've never been happy with myself. And I don't need no one feeling bad for me. Trying to offer me pity and throw jabs at me. Want to give me advice and then laugh at me behind closed doors. Just close the door and let me be by myself. Just me and myself. I'm tired of living, I cry, I hear it's easy to die, I wanna sleep with myself. And I know that sounds crazy to everyone else, but I'm depressed as fuck, stressed as fuck. Ain't no medicine that can cure what's the test and drugs I need. I need extra love and that ain't even enough. Today ain't even enough, and where the fuck is God? Damn. Maybe I ain't believing enough, but today we gonna see if he's real. And if he is, then I guess I'm probably going to hell. Look, I ain't wanna die like this, I ain't picturing my life like this. They don't know what it's like this. Pretending I'm happy so I can smile like this and laugh like you. Sometimes I wonder if I ever act like you. Could I finally fit in and maybe relax like, ooh? Or would you feel lost without me? Cause honestly, I think the world is better off without me. And my mind's spinning. This is the line finished. Truth is, I don't care how they feel about my feelings. I made up my mind. I'm going out like Robin Williams. I guess I'm not the ordinary people of John Legend. And I've been suicidal since the day I was 9. Shit. Okay, today I was 9. I've been tired of being bullied, couldn't stay out the fire. Grandma told me I should take it one day at a time. And damn it, look at me now. Fuck. Fuck. Pen running out. Shit. Damn. Look, just know it's a new day. But if you're reading this, then it's probably too late.
Just make sure you tell my family it's okay. I'm sorry, but it's too late. I'm sorry, too much pain on me. I don't wanna live to see another day. I'm sorry, but I can't stay. I'm sorry, too much pain on me. Just make sure you tell my family it's okay. I'm sorry, but it's too late. I'm sorry, too much pain on me. I don't wanna live to see another day.
Finally happy, it's too late for you. Been going out of my mind. You don't know how many times that I done prayed for you. I hope you hear me, goddammit, cause I got so much shit that I wanna say to you. I used to shine, now I'm all in the dark. I remember I used to tell you to follow your heart, but goddammit, look at you now, it's all of your fault. I could you. Maybe it's my fault. I should've paid more attention to what you been doing. Maybe I should've been more of an influence. I can't believe that you're dead. I read your letter and all I could do is have mixed feelings about it. But I'll forever be attached to you.
Damn.
Part of me feels bad for you. A part of me feel like you weak and I'm mad at you. And I don't mean to be insensitive, but I don't understand how we couldn't prevent this shit. You took the easy way out. God damn it, you did. I mean, look what you did. I'm so fucking upset. How could you be so selfish?
Nigga.
How could you be so selfish? Now you're gone. You done left me so helpless. I wonder what God thinks. I hope you in God's place behaving yourself. Yo, what the fuck you gotta say for yourself? Look, I really feel lost without you. I hate the fact you think the world is better off without you. And my mind's spinning, this is the line finished. Truth is, I don't care how you feel about my feelings. And I'd be lying to you if I told you a fine listen. I know that you can hear me, all I need is like 5 minutes. I just wanna reach inside the casket and pull you out. I'm sorry, this is something that we both couldn't figure out. I wish I could hear you now, it's just so missing. I wonder if you could do it again, would you do it different? Tell me what death is like. Was the meth for you, Brody. Did the heavens support it? Are you fucking happy now? Did you get what you wanted? Isn't this what you wanted? I feel the temperature falling, and you've been suicidal back then. You were not. Yeah, even back then you was not. We was living on the edge, couldn't stay out the fire. Grandma told us we should take it one day at a time, and damn it, look at you now. But it's a new day, and if you can't hear me, then it's probably too late. Fuck.
Just make sure you tell my family it's okay. I'm sorry, but it's too late. I'm sorry, too much pain on me. I don't wanna live to see another day. I'm sorry, but I can't stay. I'm sorry, too much pain on me. Just make sure you tell my family it's okay. I'm sorry, but it's too late. I'm sorry.
Good evening, everybody. You are tuned in to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio, listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayana Mohammed. Tonight, we have a special guest, Miss Tisa Key, tuned in with us tonight. Say hello to everybody, Tisa. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. All right, how you doing?
Well, tonight, let me apologize if I have any listeners on here that got offended by the words of that song. I'm thinking that it was very fitting for tonight's topic. We are speaking on mental health issues in the African-American community, which is very, very, very important. We need to wake up. Now, at this time, there's a lot of depression, a lot of suicide, a lot of other mental health issues are going on, and we are just sweeping everything under the rug. So tonight, we're going to try to bring awareness to those that are listening and to those that have called in. I see that I have like a panel full of callers already. So let's get started.
Whew, yes.
Ladies.
I know.
Ladies.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. What about these? Let's start with these kids. You know, lately there have been a lot of kids online that are going live on Facebook and Instagram, and they're showing their friends,
yes.
You know, or telling their friends or their schoolmates or whoever why it is that they don't want to live no more. And at the end of their video, they're committing suicide.
Yes, that's crazy. It was the one story. The young man, he was a teenager, and his girlfriend basically was texting him and telling him to just go ahead and do it. Like, he was like, oh, I'm going to kill myself. And she was texting him to go ahead and do it. I think they charged her with something. I can't remember what it was. But he committed suicide.
As they should have.
And it's like, yeah, I think they should have. But, again, okay, so I do think they should have, but I feel like, and I'm going to be honest because y'all know me, I don't really think you can be coached into it. I think it's either something you want to do or you don't. So I think he was already leaning towards it, and her telling him to do it, I don't know how that plays into it, but I've never been in that state of mind before to where you're
wanting
to.
Well, Tisa, what do you think about that? Because that is one of the hot topics that's going on right now that's trending about the young lady that was coached. Seeing her depressed boyfriend,
yeah,
like off the ledge. You know, he was sending her text messages, and she was saying, you know, you're being a coward. You've been talking about this for a while. You know, just go ahead and do it. Blah blah blah. Like,
I can't imagine
telling my husband to kill himself.
Right. To me, stuff like that. I mean, especially for a so-called loved one, I highly disagree with how she handled that situation, because you got to understand, when somebody is in that frame of mind, the person that's trying to help them is trying to use reverse psychology by saying, do it, you're a coward, you're this, you're all these things, and not knowing that in the moment when they do it, then you're going to feel bad and feel guilty. You know?
But should she be charged, though, for a crime, though?
No, she should. She should. Like,
I think she
should. I don't even like that tactic. What is that tactic about? Why would you tell somebody to go ahead and kill themselves? What is the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, this wasn't a one-time thing. Like, this went on for weeks.
Yeah.
And he would wake up and she would say, "You're still here. You know, I thought you were going to do it. You're a coward." To me, that was kind of sort of like a form of bullying. And
to me, that's toxic.
This guy,
that's a toxic relationship. So
for
him to even be with somebody like that, you know, it's crazy. Like, he shouldn't even have.
But see,
he should have been cut her off. And instead of her encouraging him to jump, she should have tried to get him some help.
Get him some help.
But here's the thing, though. Okay, so let me make sure everybody understands that's listening. I think she was 100% wrong. Now, I know people don't, that's the problem, is that I think people don't know how to handle it and how to deal with it, because if she was using reverse psychology, obviously that tactic did not work. But I don't even think that's really what it was. I think she had her own deeper issues, because before it all happened, she told him to delete the text messages. So she knew she was guilty of something. So
exactly. That's why she needs to go to jail.
Right. But how
she has her own issues. Right.
How do you deal with that, though, when you know someone that is, you see somebody that's in a depressed, like, how do you identify depression to that level?
Well, and let me
say,
because we're talking about, because we're talking about these kids, I mean, right now, for the first few minutes of this show, there was I think he was like 8 years old, third grade, shot himself in the head. He was being bullied.
Yeah.
At that point, at that young age, I think it's up to the parents to identify signs of depression or what's going on with your kids when they're that young. And kids, you know, most
parents,
kids,
we gotta get to these schools too. These schools are responsible for these bullies. It's not just the parents, because once you leave your house, you're at school. So the parents are under the impression that their kids are being protected when they're not. You got bullies in the bathroom, bullies in the hall. Where are these
bullies on the bus?
Right.
It's up to the adults
nipping this in the bud. Right. Because you got a lot of athletes that are bullies too, but nobody wants to say nothing because the athletic program is bringing in money.
You
see what I'm saying?
Correct.
So there's a lot of politics behind all these things. But it starts with the schools as well.
You can't say nothing.
Right. So my thing is, like, parents need to pay attention to their kids and see if their kids are feeling more depressed, not coming out their room, not talking, not eating.
Exactly.
They need to pay attention
to
those signs, and they need to be more involved, as opposed to, like, if a guy is like that, he doesn't need his father to say, "Oh, man up, son, da-da-da." He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that from his dad. When you're already down, that's not what you need. You need somebody to encourage you and uplift you, as opposed to keep kicking you when you're already down.
And I think that is one of the problems in the African-American community. We do not take mental health issues as serious as
we
should.
We don't take them seriously.
Because
if it's not,
we've always been taught
to be
strong.
No, it's not that we don't
take
it serious. The issue is not that we don't take it serious. The issue is that in the Black community, they like to pretend like it doesn't exist.
It
that's
doesn't
it.
Exist.
Yeah,
anything
it doesn't
that's
exist.
Taboo,
it is. It's like they shake
it
off.
Doesn't exist. Right, suicide,
it's a
shake
it off mentality.
When you have rape, all those things, they don't want to think about those things. So, like you said, we like to sweep things under the rug.
Sweep it under the rug and pretend like it's not going on.
Right, they want to pray about it. Prayer with no action means absolutely
nothing.
Nothing. Whoa. You can't pray and then there's no action behind it, because nothing's going to happen.
Say it
so
again.
Instead of us getting the self-help that we need, like a lot of mothers will say, "Nothing's wrong with my child. Nothing's wrong with my child." But let me tell you something. In the white community, you know what they would do? They'll tell you, "Oh,
take
I'm in therapy. I'm on Prozac. I'm taking meds."
What?
They say all these things, and they're happy to go to therapy. In the Black community, it's a stigma. Oh, they go to therapy. If you go to therapy, any type of self-help, then something must be wrong with you. Why are you trying
exactly
to get help? Something is wrong.
But that's true. But that's true. Okay, so that's true, though, because we don't believe in, first of all, you can't get some grown men to go to the doctors for real physical illnesses. I mean, you want me to go to the doctor for something that's unseen? It's unseen. And that, how do you get people to understand that just because if your child is sitting in the room, they're not interacting with other kids, it's obvious there's something wrong, and opposed to you just like, "Oh, that he'd be all right," you know, you. How do you make those steps? Because like you said, it's
this
a stigma.
Why,
so how do we get rid of that stigma?
Right, and see, this is why I wrote a book about it, put a play up about it. This is why I'm such a huge advocate for suicide awareness and prevention, because, like I said, in the black community, there's no, first of all, there's not a lot of resources. You got to start there. There's not a lot of resources. People don't know where to go. And then when they go someplace, they turn down. You want to talk about kids committing suicide on Facebook Live? Let's go, like, right before the, right during the holidays, there was a 12-year-old white girl who committed, who hung herself on Facebook Live. You know why?
Yeah.
Right, because she ran away from home. She ran away from home. Her mother wanted her to come back home and have, like, Christmas dinner or something with her stepfather and this and that, after the girl already complained that her stepfather was raping her. Her own mother did nothing. She went to the school. The school did nothing. So every outlet that she went to, nobody helped her. So what was her last resort? She hung herself.
To leave. It's time for me to leave. There's nothing and there's no, I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I'm crying out for help and there's no help. So I want people to get the idea right.
Suicide is not about dying. People don't want to die. A lot of people say they're selfish and this and that. They want to die. No.
That's what
people just want
say.
The pain to stop. They want the pain
I'm
to
admit
stop.
That.
And the only way for the pain to stop is to kill themselves. But they don't necessarily want to die.
But see, I'm guilty of that. I will admit it, that I've always thought that suicide was a selfish move. But I have matured, have grown up past that. I did think it was selfish because I felt like, I'm just going to say it, I felt like that was the coward's way out. Like, whatever you were going through, you just couldn't deal with it. Like, you couldn't talk to anybody. But then when you hear the stories and you understand that, like the young lady you were talking about, when you talk to everybody else, it's like, man, what else do I do? And then I always thought that, like, for people that attempted suicide and did not succeed, I'm like, oh, they just trying to get attention. I did. I thought that. Because I'm like, how did you not succeed at it?
Let me tell you something.
I attempted suicide. That's why I'm so passionate about these things. This is why this is my mission, to help other people that have attempted, contemplated all these things. I've done this. I've been there. So that's why I'm the perfect person to counsel these people, because I've been there. I've seen what they go through. That's why when a lot of people say, oh, you're not depressed, first of all, one person never knows what the other person, what somebody else is doing. You don't
I'm
walk
glad
with,
you
I've been
said
know
that,
what their
Tisa.
Pain is. You don't
I've
know what they're feeling. So you
yes.
can't say
Thank
something
you.
Like that. And you might be selfish to other people, but to them it's not being selfish, because a
selfish.
Lot of people they reach
exactly.
out to, and then it's like, where were you when I was reaching out to you? But you call me selfish, but you didn't even help me when I'm going through my depression. So how am I selfish?
And
like
right
said,
now,
I matured past that. I did.
Right.
We
right.
are we
I'm
and so we as African Americans are very guilty of seeing the signs and not doing anything. I know a young lady that recently killed herself a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, and she's been crying out for help for, I know, over a year and a half. She's been talking about, you know, she doesn't want to live anymore. She posts these things on Facebook, and, you know, I see people giving her words of encouragement, and I've even DM'd her telling her, you know, I'm praying for you, everything is going to be okay, and this, that, and the other. Well, here it is a year and a half later. She, you know, ended up killing herself about a week ago, and as I was scrolling through her Facebook page, she actually let people know that it's time. Her Facebook post says, it's time. God, open up your gates for me. And when I look at that post, all I saw was sad faces, the sad face emoji. There was no one that really, you know, I think because she's been saying it for so long and didn't do it, that people just probably felt like she was still talking. Now,
I agree.
Now, in hindsight, this girl has been crying out for help for a long time, and we just overlook the signs because we don't want to believe that someone would actually get to the point where they want to take their lives.
Take their lives.
Can you imagine
how
hard it is? Just imagine that has to be the hardest decision that you have to make to blow your brains out, to put a gun, you know, like that's not an easy decision. So no, it's
no,
not
it's
them
not.
Being selfish.
It's not.
And
that's what I'm saying.
Whatever is bothering me, I just can't take it anymore, and I'm ready to go by any means necessary. Lord, we have to do something.
I'm glad that I did realize, though. I'm glad I did realize that it's not a selfishness, but the mentality of me thinking that it was selfish is because what I was looking at it is, how could you do that to the people that here that loves you? But I think somebody in that situation obviously doesn't identify that there are people here that love them, and that's why they're doing what they're doing. So I think I had to kind of reverse it and not look. I was looking at it from a selfish mentality of saying, how could I take my life, like how that's going to affect everybody else, and not thinking, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I had to think about it and look at it differently. But I think the signs, like you say, the signs are what is ignored, because I think there's different levels of depression. You have those that you see that you feel like, man, what's wrong with them? They're sitting in a room, sitting in the dark, don't want to go nowhere, don't want to do anything. That's like deep, deep in depression. But then there's levels of it to where this person may be functioning every day, going to work and coming home. And you have no idea how they're emotionally feeling about everything that's going on in their life, which is like one time, remember, we talked about me and you, Miss co-host. I had lost my grandmother, and it was a lot. But I had lost a lot of people that year, and I had been to like 6 funerals in 1 year. And I got to the point to where I just couldn't take it no more. I wasn't even going to work. I was like, I'm out of work. I'm at home. I can't do it. And I remember we talked on the phone, and I was like, yeah, I've just been depressed. And what was the first thing you said to me? You ain't depressed.
That's exactly what I said. I admit, and I will apologize in front of, well, I'll apologize to you on air, because me knowing you, and I'm so used to the laughy, the jokey, the, you know, Ayana, I just could not imagine anything getting you to the point of being depressed. I said, oh, you just want some days off. People at work are getting on your nerves. You didn't want to go to work. I listed a whole list of reasons why you that you were at home.
Right.
So let me apologize from the bottom of my heart.
They're not the only person that thinks like that. Because I remember one time I was having a discussion, and while we having this discussion, now a white boy tells me, what are you depressed about? You don't have no reason to be depressed. After I told him, once upon a time, I contemplated suicide, he was like, you have no reason to be depressed. You're too pretty to be depressed. Why would you be suicidal? And I thought that was the dumbest thing on the planet, because it's not like suicide says, oh, you're too pretty, I'm going to skip you. Oh, you look like this, I'm going to skip you too. You know what I'm saying? That's not how it works.
Right.
That's not how any of this works. So a lot of times people say some stupid, idiotic things. Because a lot of times people don't want to face the realities of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the thing on Netflix now called 13 Reasons, right? They want to try to ban that from schools. Why? Why do you want to ban something that's showing you what this girl went through? You know why?
True.
Because they don't want to deal with the reality of her life and her wrist. And she's bleeding and getting raped. They don't want to deal with all that shit. But you need
I got
to
watch it.
You need to.
I got
to
watch it.
People need
I'm gonna
to
have to
see
watch it.
The reality, huh?
I know. I'm
We're
going
to have
to
watch
that. I heard that was good.
Yes. People need
I heard
to
it was
see
good.
The reality of it. This is why when I wrote my book, it's raw and it's gritty. I'm not changing nothing. When I put up my play, To Die Alone or Suicide Chronicles, it's raw. It's raw. So if you like me, like my work, I'm not changing anything, because people always want to suppress the realness of suicide. And then they talk about they don't understand. But this is why we want to understand. We got to make you understand before we can educate you.
You're absolutely correct. Before I take a caller, Tisa, tell us a little bit about your book and when it's going to be out for everybody to buy. And, you know, first, let us know a little bit about yourself. Give us a little bit about your background.
I'm originally from New York City, born and raised. I'm an actor, writer, filmmaker, producer, author, all those things. And I'm a huge advocate for suicide awareness and prevention. That's putting it in a nutshell. I don't want to take up all the time. But I put up a play, And I have a book called To Die Alone, The Suicide Chronicles, and it will be out the end of this month. And it will be available on Amazon. You can go to my website, todiealone.com, to find out more information about it. But basically, it's different stories. It's different short stories about different people from all walks of life contemplating suicide. That's basically what it's about in a nutshell. So it deals okay. with domestic violence. It deals with veterans in suicide. It deals with mental illness in suicide. So it deals with a whole different dynamics of suicide that people are not aware of. And it gives you the reality of suicide. There's no sugarcoating in that book. I don't sugarcoat nothing. I give it to you real and raw. And you have to be able to take it because this is what people every day when they're contemplating suicide, this is what they go through. It's nothing pretty about it. There's nothing,
and
there's
this is
nothing pretty about slicing your wrist. There's nothing pretty about putting a bullet in your head. There's nothing pretty about hanging yourself. That shit isn't pretty. So in order for people to get it, they got to see what people are going through. They got to realize what's in their head. And like I said, suicide is not about dying. It's about wanting the pain to stop.
So and you mentioned a play. You're putting a play together as well?
Huh? Yeah, I put up a play in 2015. Out here,
okay.
And I'm about to put it up again. It's probably going to be in New York, and then it'll be back in Atlanta. I'm working on that. And it's a series as well. I'm working on the series
okay.
and everything as well.
So, okay.
You know, later on this summer, probably going to shoot the pilot for the series. So there's a lot of things in the works with this. But this is like, we got to get the word out there. We got to get the word out there. And there's so many people that fall very ignorant to suicide. And they laugh at people. You're going to kill yourself? Oh, kill yourself already. I don't care. Then when they do it, oh, damn.
Right. If you're going to jump, just jump. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Jump already. Why are you stressing everybody?
Right.
Jump. Kill yourself.
Like, don't call
yourself.
Me about this again. Just do what you're going to do and then call me back.
Right.
Like, whoa, wait a minute.
That's reality.
Yeah.
That's especially in the African American community. We will call you bluff.
We will
because we don't understand
change.
Your pain. We don't understand your pain. You can't tell me that you want to kill yourself because to me, I see you living in a nice house. I see you driving a nice car. What's wrong?
Right.
You, things could be worse. Why would you
want to commit suicide?
Besides,
rich committed suicide, and the list goes on.
Yep.
I can name so many names, so it doesn't have nothing to do with how much money you have or don't have. It has nothing to do with if you black, white, green, alien, or Martian. It has nothing to do with those things.
You're right.
And I agree.
But see, that's the thing. So even with mental health issues, like bipolar is a mental health issue. And
mm-hmm.
I think outside of depression, I think that's one that's overlooked a lot. And if people don't understand it, they don't see it. So that's my question is, how do we get people to start identifying these issues, whether it's in young people, whether it's in adults? Like, how do me as an individual reach out to somebody?
Before we could get them there, what we do is to, and see, that's what I wrote the book for, to create dialogue, not only within the black community, but all communities, to say, let's talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no dialogue right now. Nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's admitting
to really touch base on it. Like, nobody wants to say, oh, she really killed herself. She did this. Why did she do these things? And that's
what was going on.
That's the issue right there. Nobody wants to discuss it. Nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to recognize it in somebody else. Nobody wants to sit down and say, hey, you really need help. This is not normal.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but see, but
hold on,
so
lady.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that's what I'm saying. I just want to create an open dialogue with all communities to let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
I agree.
We're 30 minutes into the show. I want to take a caller real quick before we go on.
Okay.
Caller with the last four of 6354, last four digits of 6354. Good evening, caller. Are you calling in to make a comment or were you just listening tonight?
I'm just going to make a comment. And all I'm going to say is I did not know that mental health was so serious until I got my degree and I started working in the mental health field. It is really serious, and I think we as black people need to start addressing it, because I work with a lot of young ladies that deny the fact that they need help, and then they end up locked up or hospitalized because they don't want to address what they got going on. That's all I want to say.
You deal with just females?
I'm sorry? It's female.
You only deal with females?
No, it's females and males too. Yeah, because I work with males too. So it's both of them. But it's mostly the females that struggle so far on my caseload that I have. I'm sorry, my daughter's crying. But it's mostly the females that I see that struggle. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and listening, and I hope you continue to listen, and I hope you're getting some good tips to even help you on your job
with these issues.
And maybe Tisa's book is something that, you know, you all can order and maybe sit down and do a group with the young ladies. We're trying to bring awareness to this issue, so we want to reach a lot of people, as many people as we can, in as many states as we can. Again, thank you for calling. I'm going to put you back in queue.
Thank you.
Hi. Okay.
What's interesting about it is I think sometimes we as people don't necessarily, like, you may not see it in somebody, but a lot of times people don't identify it in themselves. When you have people that they are struggling, like, you know, it's like a woman may not realize why she's only eating comfort foods, or she has no energy, or this or that. Not even, I think people sometimes in themselves don't identify what they're going through or how they're really feeling. They get stuck in the mundane day-to-day of life and don't realize that certain aspects of their life don't make them happy. And they, like a woman, for example, and then next thing you know, because she's been in certain situations or molested as a child or this or that, she ends up in an abusive relationship, but it's because mentally she never dealt with what she went through as a child, which to me are the things that may cause mental issues like depression and anxiety and things like that. So how do you as an individual identify that you have those issues, though? Like, that's what I don't see.
Well, I think deep down inside, you know what you're struggling with. You have to be honest with yourself and live in your own truth.
Okay.
If you feel right, because so many things, you know. Like, I know if I'm depressed or not. I know how I'm feeling, if I'm feeling down, if I'm feeling sad, you know. So it's like, you know you, and only you can help you. A lot of times, that's a big problem, too. We always running and trying to seek help from other people, but it starts with us. We have to want the help. Then we have to seek the help. Then we got to get the help. You see what I'm saying? But it all starts with the person as the individual. That's why certain people, they don't realize. So people are like, they put up a Facebook status. That should mean that, they want attention. No, it doesn't mean they want attention. It means they want help.
They want help.
And they
They're
no
crying
go,
out for help.
Get help. That's what pisses me off. Because a lot of times, they just want attention. They putting up, they're going to jump off the bridge or they're going to shoot themselves. And that's why you get those assholes, and I'm calling them assholes, that say, jump, do this, kill yourself. I don't care. I don't like those people because they're not looking for attention when they put up a Facebook post. They want help. And that
they are crying out for help.
They went to their school to get help. How do you know they didn't go to their best friend to get help? So they put it on Facebook to see who's going to help them. And some people do help them, and some people don't. But I don't like when they say people are looking for attention when they really contemplating suicide. They're not looking for attention. They're looking for help.
Help.
You're absolutely right. Let me tell you, I had a little cousin that a couple of years ago, he committed suicide. And that touched me real, real deep, because the day before he killed himself, he was actually supposed to be on a bus coming to Georgia to stay with me and my husband.
Wow.
He was rapping. He wanted help with his rap career. You know, he had recently had a little baby. I think his baby was, a couple months old. And he just wanted to get away from Indiana because, it's not a great place to live for African American young man. me not knowing that other people, you know, was telling him, oh, she's too busy. She's not going to have time to help you. Don't go down there and intrude on her life, this, that, and the other. I missed a message from him in my messenger telling me that he had been told this. And, you know, that he wasn't going to come. All the while, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm getting off at 3:30. I'm going to pick him up from the mega bus stop. And, you know, he gets in at 5:15. At 6 o'clock, I'm not getting a phone call. 7 o'clock, I'm not getting a phone call. The next morning, I'm hitting his Facebook page, like, where you at? Did you come? You didn't get on the bus, this, that, and the other. And I'm getting a call saying, you know, hey, he's gone. He killed himself yesterday. And it wasn't until after I found out that he killed himself that I went to my messenger and saw his message. And he had told me that, you know, he decided he wasn't going to come because he had been told that I was, you know, I had my own life and I was too busy. And when I tell you that, just crushed my whole entire spirit, because I had talked to my husband. We were all set, you know, bring, you know, come down here. We're going to get you on the right path. We're going to help you get where you want to be. You know, he wanted to be a better man. It just, for somebody else to block him from trying to better his himself, blessing. He was crying out for help, and for somebody to just shut him down, thinking that I wasn't going to have time for him.
Right, that was his mother's fault. And see, that's a lot of parents do that, because he wanted to come down there and live with you. So the mother was probably jealous in some kind of way, because she couldn't figure out how to help him. So he's going to come live with you. I mean, that happens a lot. A lot. And black people have that crab in the barrel syndrome. It's like, here he is trying to seek help and get help, and then his own mother is pulling back. Come on, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, right. I had a friend, a business partner, and probably about, I've only had three friends that all committed suicide. So when people ask me, why do you pick this? Why do you pick this topic? Why do you want to fight for this? Because I'm passionate about it. Because I've been through it. Like I told you, I contemplated. I attempted to kill myself twice, but I'm still here. I'm still here. So I'm
And you're here for a reason.
I'm here for a reason. I'm doing this project and this book for a reason. There's a reason behind this. This is my passion project. And so I'm here to help everybody, as many people as I can. And my motto is I'm saving lives one soul at a time.
That's dope.
I'm the best person to counsel people. You know why? Because I've been through it. I know the feelings that you have. I know what you're going through. You know, a lot of people think just because everything is going well in your life that you don't have no struggles. Not true. I had a friend when I lived in California who had his own shop and everything. He was an actor too. He got a big movie deal with Angela Bassett and Larry Fishburne. You would think he was on top of the world. Where as he was filming on his lunch break, he went in his shop and he hung himself. A lot of people called him selfish because he left behind his 9-year-old daughter. But then again, you can't think about, you don't know what that man was going through. So I won't allow you to talk about him like that. I had a business partner.
In his mind, he probably thought his daughter's world would be better off without him in it.
Exactly.
You don't know. People just don't know what's going on in a child's head, in an adult's head.
Yeah.
I can't say it enough.
Everything is cool. Right. You see somebody who's making money. They got a mansion. They got this. They got all these material things. And you think that they're good. But deep down inside, they're dealing with demons that they don't know how to deal with. And you don't know that because they won't allow you to see that.
But why do we have that stigma on people? Like, why do we have the you must be crazy? Like, why would you be going to sitting?
I don't. That's
up?
How that's
they
how the
like
black
this.
Community is. I told
yes,
you any type of
like,
self help.
Why is you paying to sit to talk to somebody? That's stupid. Why is you spending money to sit down and talk to
it's
somebody?
Not
spend, that's a waste
but
of money.
See, that's how it is in the black community. It's set up. Any type of self help is seen as you're crazy, you're stupid, you're all these negative words.
Yep.
We gotta take that vocabulary out. We gotta take that negative vocabulary out. Because I'm telling you, and then you wonder why, that's what I said, a white person would never, never, never say anything like that. They'll tell you in a minute, yo, I'm in therapy, I'm on Prozac, I'm on this. There's no shame to them.
And they don't have any problem
at all
with it.
It's
they don't have not one single solitary problem letting you know, look, I take my pills religiously. Because if I don't, this may happen. If I don't take my pills, like, all my crazy is coming out on y'all. So I'm going to take these pills. But
it's so accepted. It's so accepted. Like, I literally have worked with people where they would be in a meeting, and because they're stressed, they'd be like, oh, I need a minute. And then they'll come back, and I'll be like, well, where'd you go? Oh, I had to go take my anxiety pill. I just felt myself getting stressed out. And I'm sitting there like, oh, okay.
White people tell you they're going to take an anxiety pill, they're going to take a Valium, they're going to take this, they're going to do that. There's no shame in the game.
They have
a black
no
person
shame.
We have built up so many different types of coping mechanisms. We've built up different types of coping mechanisms that to try to help us with what's going on. And alcohol and drugs are the number one coping mechanisms. And we think that if we get drunk enough or if we get high
enough,
all this pain will go away. But it doesn't matter, because as soon as I'm not high anymore,
I still have the same problem. Right, you still have the same problem. You come down off your high.
You
still
do.
Got the same
but that's
problem.
Why most of those people become addicts, because guess what they don't want to do is ever come off that high. And
they
don't ever want to come off that high.
And then,
that's
the problem
one way
is
of coping.
People are so busy suppressing their feelings because they aren't able to feel, especially in the black community, they aren't able to feel anything. So they suppress all those feelings, and then they got to deal with that on top of everything else that they're dealing with. That's a lot of shit.
Yeah, because you can't show that you're mad or you're angry or you're upset or any of that. So all you're doing is pushing all of those emotions down, and at some point you erupt. But
and it's really bad for men, because as men, it's like a sign of weakness. Oh, I can't let them know that I'm doing this. I can't. It's like they're weak, and they're not.
Yeah.
And they're not, because it takes a strong person to go get help.
It does. It does. But I think, like, the other way people cope is, and I know I feel this way about the women in my family without a doubt. They just keep going. They just keep going.
Yeah.
No matter what they go, I just keep going. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I got to do this. I got to drop this off over here. And just keep going. As opposed to stopping. Yeah, staying busy. And it's that's another way. So if they're not doing the drugs or the alcohol, they're addicted to doing stuff. And you'd be like, what do you do? You know, running around like the Energizer Bunny. But a lot of times people just don't want to sit down and, like you said, deal with the issues at hand. So when it comes to grieving, when it comes to any of that, they just don't want to sit down and deal with the issue at hand. I think, we got to figure out how to help these people with that. I don't have no answers, though.
No, you're right.
Well,
Right. Not only do I want to open up dialogue for everybody, all communities to get this, let's start talking about the realness about suicide, but I want to create different resources, because there's no resources. Nobody knows where to go. You got people, like I said, teenagers getting bullied in school. Where did they go when the principal's on the bully side? They go home.
Exactly.
Especially a guy. Oh, man up. Suck it up. That's what high school is. No, that's not what high school is about. Are you kidding me?
Even when you create,
you got
support
parents out there
that
are not parenting. Then you got the schools out there protecting the bullies. So where is that kid supposed to go?
And
no
personally, I think when you create support groups, that's almost like admitting that you have a problem. So you're embarrassed to go and sit in a circle of people and talk about what's going on with you. So it is
right. And all the mothers are parents, not my son. My son's not crazy. Not them.
Yeah.
No. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to admit that their son needs help.
And then you see him on the 7 o'clock news wondering why he stole a hot dog at 7-Eleven and rolled over the lady at the pump in her car. Like, nobody can explain why he did that. Oh, he would never harm a fly. Really?
But he killed everybody else and himself.
Right. And it's like, what? How did that happen? It went from 0 to 100. And it's like,
okay, ladies, the phone lines are blowing up, and I know we have like 15 minutes left, and I think I've lost some callers trying to get them to hold on.
All right,
but we do have a caller that just called in. And I'm going to click on them and let them make a comment if they choose to. And then I want to play a clip for a few minutes, and we'll get back into the show. Caller with the last four of 8198. Good evening, caller. Are you calling to listen, or do you want to make a comment on this topic of mental health issues tonight?
I want to make a comment on the topic of mental health issues.
Okay. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. You can go ahead with your comment.
Okay. So my name is Nico. I'm calling from Seattle, Washington. And
okay.
I was listening about the different types of care and things that people are not getting who have mental illnesses. And then I think about how the majority of the world has a mental illness of some sort. And right now, the only option you have, which is a free option, depending on your health care, is to be medicated. Medication doesn't work for a lot of people. You know, it doesn't work for the people in the military who have PTSD. You know, I personally, I'm a, what we call a functional smoker. So, you know, I use cannabis. However, in so many places, it's like you can be fine here in Washington or California or Nevada, but if you go to other states, they don't have that option. So they have no other choice but to be medicated. And some of these medications that they put people on are worse than you not taking them at all.
I agree.
Wow. Yeah, because when you come off of them, you're even worse off than it was before you started.
That is
or
correct, because once you start taking some medications, you have to have them in your system for a certain amount of weeks, and after you've taken them for a certain amount of weeks, they stay in your system for a certain amount of months. So you may not be unhappy this day, but you may not be able to feel another type of emotion. Maybe it will be an emotion to a family member or a significant other or just to a casual person. You may not be upset or you may not be depressed for people who, you know, are feeling that way, but you don't necessarily feel happy by being medicated every day and having to be really confined to the cage of taking pills.
Oh,
self-medication
that's
is a real thing.
Yeah, that's the side effect to taking the med. I actually, when I was going through what I was going through, the doctor has prescribed some to me. I chose not to take them because, one, he was like, well, only take a half a pill. And then I had to take them for 6 months. And then it was like before I could take a whole pill. And then if I wanted to come off of them, I had to then start taking a half a pill and wean myself off. And I was like, I'm just going to work through this on my own. But that was me
that's
choosing
correct.
Not to take the meds for that reason. So, yeah, that's a lot, though. But that's
well,
a choice that you have
I'll
to
give
make
an example that most people can relate to. We'll say anybody that's over the age of 21 now in our United States, well, maybe not even 21, but just as an adult, you don't have dental coverage like you normally would, right?
Right.
So if you have a tooth that's just killing you, if you go to your dentist, it is cheaper for them to put you on prescription meds and antibiotics to keep that tooth from hurting you than it is for them to actually fix the cause of the tooth.
That is
so they'd rather
true.
Pay you for months and months and months to give you Percocets or give you Oxys or whatever it is that feeds your, you know, your pain instead
mm-hmm.
of just allowing the $800, $600 it is to give you a root canal or whatever it is that you need. So when we talk about mental health, we also have to take into account that the pharmaceutical industries are terrible. It's not
the
about
the medicine.
What you have or what they can help with. It's about how much they can sell it for and how much will the
sure.
average consumer pay.
Yep, the money's in the medicine,
mm-hmm.
not in the cure.
And then,
anyway, so
right.
thank you, ladies.
Right, no, you're absolutely right, Nico. And also, we got to talk about, too, as far as mental health, how many people go to the hospital to get help and then the hospital just releases them?
Release them back into society
when
yeah.
they come to the hospital to get help and then they back in society and then they kill somebody. Then you want to try to blame them when you need to blame the hospital that released them. They did try
and
to
it's,
get help.
It's funny you say that because in 2013, I got into an extremely bad head-on collision. Jaws of life were used. I was taken to the nearest hospital. Everything was great. I was there, matter probably about 12 hours or whatnot. Do you know, before they could even find out if I had an actual person to take me home after I was already casted up in the areas needed, they just wheeled me out. I was almost like basically in the waiting room. Now it's not about what's happening with you and you need to be seen. It's about how quick we can turn you guys out of these rooms for the people who really need it.
Right.
What?
That, who they think we need. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm talking about after a real car accident, not a fender bender. You know, I had casts on, you know, I had a cast on my right arm, my neck, and my right leg. And still in cast, they were like, well, she's done. We'll just pull her out here and wait for somebody to pick her up, pull the next person
like,
in.
Take,
so it's kind
of
like musical chairs.
Take two of these and call me.
Wow.
That's
right.
That's
about and they let me go less than 24 hours after having a major head-on collision.
That's what,
wow,
that's what a
crazy.
Lot of these hospitals do. There was some guy who just killed somebody after he was released from the mental hospital. They were supposed to.
Right, and I mean, guess what? You know what? I bet you they gave him more pain medication for his pain and gave him whatever medication he should have been on to begin with, I guess, according to what they say, right? You know, what they gave me, they let me go in less than 24 hours. However, they gave me a 3 or 4 month back-to-back prescription for OxyContin, something that I don't take, period.
And something that you can get addicted to so that you will continue.
Right, but they don't care about your addiction. They just want
to. No,
and then you can't work with that. I can't go to work and do that. I mean, even after healing, who can really function going to work on taking an Oxy or taking 4 or 5 Percocets because that's what you may need, you know? According to pain management now with the pharmaceutical industry, they make it to where they want you to be healed, I guess. However, it forms a dependency. So once you're healed, when you go back to work, what are you still doing? Oh, I still feel a pinch here. I'm still taking these pills.
Everything that you say
isn't it crazy?
Is so true.
Right.
And I don't know. It looks like, ladies, we're going to have to do a part 2 to this show because my phone lines are blowing up now. Thank you, caller.
Thank
you called
you
in with a lot of great
thank
input.
You.
I appreciate you
thank
listening
you so
and calling in to share your experience and share your take on this issue. So continue to listen.
I appreciate you guys doing this because I listen to a lot of radio shows now that are extremely popular, and none of them are talking about the real things that are really happening in everyday life. Outside of reality TV, there is still reality.
There is still reality,
thank
and that's this platform for this show. We're bringing real issues to life and awareness. So every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we'll have a different topic, and sometimes we'll have to bring a part 2 back because the show is only for an hour. I want to thank you again. I'm going to put you
back
in queue.
I know you're going to get my book, Nico.
Yeah, get her book. It's coming out the end of this month.
Nico's going to get my book.
You all, I want to take another caller real quick. And then I'm not going to... I'm not gonna play the clip. I'm gonna save it for our part 2. Hold on just a second. Caller with the last 4 digits of 9899. Caller 9899. Good evening, caller. Real quick, would you like to make a comment about this topic on mental health issues in the African American community? Hello? Okay, well, I'll put you back in queue. Girl, the phone lines are all over the place.
I know.
We are down to like 6 minutes. Let me give a shout out to our sponsor. Our sponsor, Digital Guard at preventcrimes.com. Everybody go out to that website. There's a lot of great things out there for us to prevent these crimes that's going on, especially home monitoring systems and video systems to keep people from your house or your business from breaking in. And just go out, and you can also go out and look at my website at victimstoppersrenita.us, and you can buy some things offline to help with, you know, keeping people away from your house that don't need to be there. Ladies,
clearly,
we have about 5.5 minutes left, and it looks like we're going to have to bring... We're going to have to bring this topic back. I'm looking like my board has went off to the side. Like, I can't even – it's so many callers in here right now. It's like 17 callers on the line. So I don't even – when it starts getting that many calls, like the call block goes haywire.
Yes.
So So we will, callers, you know, I appreciate you calling and I appreciate you listening tonight. We're going to have to do a part two to this show.
Of course. Always.
Because
we need
it is a
hour.
Topic.
We'll
bring the show back, Ayanna, when Tisa's book hits the front line. So it'll be out later this
definitely.
Month.
We
bring this topic back.
Coming out the end of the month.
We'll bring this topic back, and hopefully, you know, maybe we'll do it live, broadcast it live on Facebook so that people can see the seriousness. I know you're an advocate for, you know, this mental health issue and suicide. If we have listeners that want to reach out to you, to us, we have a email address. It's againstalloddsrg@gmail.com. Tisa, if you have an email address or a way that people can contact you, even just to get your book, to get some advice, whatever, do you want to give that information?
Yeah, they can go to the website, todiealone.com.
Todiealone.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you know what next week's topic is, because we also, we've had to bring so many topics back. We've decided to bring back our Mars versus Venus part two, men and women issues. What do we really want from each other? Why can't we just find true love with each other? That topic was real hot. We're going to bring that back next week. And then,
alrighty,
of course, the end of this month, we're going to have a man topic. So if we have any men listening in, we will have a man topic. We're going to be talking about fathers raising daughters alone. We talked about these single moms trying to raise these young men. We're going to talk about these fathers raising these daughters by themselves at the end of this month. I want to thank Ayanna always for being the perfect co-host. I also want to thank Tisa Key for coming on with us tonight and you know, talking about this topic, because it's real. It's real. We have to bring awareness.
That's the key. That's the key, is to start talking about it.
To start talking about it and getting it out and being an advocate. I mean, wherever you are, whatever you need from us, me and Ayanna, we will be there to help you, whatever you need. If you, you know, like I said, we're going to bring this topic back. We want you to come back and co-host it with us again.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, even if we just reach one person, we're helping somebody. And people, if you're listening and you can notice and witness someone crying out for help and needing that help, offer them that hand. You never know whose life you're saving.
Yeah, we don't use that reverse psychology on somebody's life.
No,
that doesn't make sense.
Please don't.
That's the dumbest.
We need everybody out there helping everybody. Remember, suicide and mental illness is not about
it's real.
Trying
it's
to
real.
Kill yourself, all those things. It's just you want the pain to stop.
Want the
so
pain
if
to stop.
You can't help somebody, help them. Help them. Don't make fun of them. Don't force them. Don't tell them to do it. Just how about you just help them? That should be the message for today. Go help somebody.
Go help somebody. And for family members that are listening, if you've had somebody that has committed suicide or is going through a depression or some other type of mental illness and they're crying out for help, help them. And if they have committed suicide, don't blame yourself. The show is getting ready to end. I want to end it on a note and a word from our sponsor, Digital Guard. Again, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Hope that you tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, 8 o'clock. Talk to you
good
later.
Night,
good night, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and/or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.